Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Koinonia Church Message Library. Our hope is that today's message encourages you, challenges you, and brings you closer to Jesus. We are confident that God's Word is living and active and is relevant for us today. Thanks for joining us. Enjoy the message.
Well, it is Mother's Day. And yes, the thought that counts, is that really true? It's a humorous little video, but I'm curious, moms, do you like to receive flowers? Do they have to be free? Do you always want to save money? I know there are some little highlights within that video. And think about it. Do moms always have to have a bow on their gift? Does it matter where that bow comes from? Is there anyone out there listening who had a scenario where he went to the closet and your dress was missing the bow? Maybe this is the wrong generation to ask in the wrong era right now. But is it the thought that counts? Kids, I hope you'll do even more than the thought. I hope you'll give the mom, the grandma, someone, send them a special message. If you can't give them a hug today, if you can give them a hug, make it an extra long one to let them know that they are loved, that you care about them. Look for intentional and creative ways to love on the moms in our world, especially this weekend. As I start our message this morning, I want to share with you a bit of a funny dream I had at the beginning of this week. It was a dream. I was asleep. It was nighttime. I was sleeping. And the dream came to me that I was filling the role of a mom with a little five-year-old boy. And I had a task to complete in this dream. And I just couldn't complete the task, and I couldn't get out of the dream. You know what those dreams feel like when you're just like, just let me out of here. I can't do it. But what was happening was the mom of this little five-year-old, she's one of our worship leaders, and I was tasked with helping this little guy to find his swimsuit and get it on. Because in my dream, mom and some other people were in a place kind of like Koinonia. It was like this auditorium, but it was a pool. And so you know how dreams can have some odd connections coming together. But as I was trying to help this little guy find his bathing suit, for the life of him, he couldn't find it anywhere, and he didn't really look interested to even help me look for it. He was just chattering away and talking with me rather than focusing on the task. And what I remember is we just need to get this task done. But his mom was in the next room. She was in the room leading worship. And she was calm, cool, and collected, and she was at the edge of a pool leading worship, because those two things go together somehow, at least in my dream they did. And while I was trying to coax him to do this and encourage him, he would just chatter on and wander around the room, and it was like I was following him, trying to help him get his bathing suit, find it at least. And I remember at one point saying in the dream to him, "No, we are not looking for your super suit. We are looking for your bathing suit." You know when you get to that exasperated feeling as a parent? But anyway, the dream came to an end. I never helped him find it. We never made it into the pool. I don't know. But I came out of it thinking to myself, what was the meaning of that? Like, what, God, did you have something significant for me to take away? What I took away, the deeper meaning that hit me in the moment as I was kind of chuckling about the whole scenario, is it gave me a mom's perspective, very real right now in the midst of all things. And it got me in the zone of thinking forward to this morning and this message. Because I do know moms are being pushed to the limits in this season. And I know kids are at the end of their rope as well, exasperated, frustrated. They're like, just let me do something. So today, as I bring a message to us, I want to bring a message to focus on moms and do some reminding. What I want to do today is remind the moms that are listening in of why kids love you. Now, not just for moms. I'm going to be speaking broader, and then I'm going to bring an application to the rest of us who aren't mothers. But I want to spend some time just reminding you, you who are mothers, you who are spiritual caregivers, those of you who are the women and who are lead and influence the children, whether they are young children or whether they are adult children, those of you who are leading and influencing the kids, the children that God has put in your life. And what I want to remind you of, the reasons that kids are drawn to you, why they love you, and why we are drawn to love the women God has put in our world around us. Whether we feel worn down by the season of lockdown or the season of unchanging challenges that are before us, what I want to remind you is God has created us, and we can still experience the fullness of his purpose of creation, regardless of the season we're going through. I read an article this week. It was in the CBC articles. It was of a mom who lives out in Regina, Saskatchewan, a little west of us in our country. And this mom wrote, and she was at first really just venting and complaining about her role as a mother. She was complaining so much about it, I thought, man, I don't want to, if I want to finish this article, it's very depressing. And she was saying that motherhood sometimes feels like a thankless job that she somehow got tricked into doing it for free. And I'm like, what is up with this girl? And so I kept reading the article, and eventually she got to the part where she said she loves being a mom. She said, having kids unlocks a section of your heart that is filled with a thick, syrupy type of love. Is there any parents out there who would agree with that statement? That it unlocks something within you that you just want to pour out that sweet love on your kids. Well, today being our second virtual Mother's Day, we are looking at a time when we can't gather as a community. But what I want us to remind us to do is still gather, whether it's virtually or at a safe distance, to affirm the women that God has put in our world, in our lives, and remind them of the heart that God has called them to walk out as a mom. Kids, I want to hear from you. What are some of the reasons you love your mom? If you've forgotten to make a card, I'm going to give you some suggestions in this message. So maybe you can jot them down, color a picture, get it to her before the end of the service this morning. But kids, I want to know why you love your moms. How is it that mom has done something for you and stirred you to deepen that love? And by the end, I'm going to share with all of us how this relates to every one of us. So let me start with some reasons why kids love moms. The first one is because moms, you nurture. You nurture, you care for, you raise up, you foster, you love the children that God has entrusted to you. And the woman from the Bible that I think about who was truly a nurturer and caregiver is Moses' mom. Do you know her? Exodus chapter 2, actually chapter 1, 2, all the way up to chapter 6, you can read about her. Name is Jochebed. And she was a woman who truly nurtured and cared for with boldness, with faith, and trust. You see, Jochebed, Moses' mother, lived at a time period when Pharaoh wanted to annihilate and kill all of the male babies that were being born. That's what he told the midwives to do. And so Moses' mother said, no, not on my watch. You are not taking my son, Moses. And so she kept him quiet for 3 months. And finally, when Moses would cry out, she knew she had to hide him. So she hid him down by the river in the bulrushes, we read. And she hid him and she left him there because she felt like he was safer there than in her home where Pharaoh's soldiers would come and look for him. And as she trusted God, she nurtured and cared for him, but then trusted and had to leave Moses. Do you know the term mama bear? It usually is referred to a woman who can be gentle and nurturing, but at the same time is protective and strong. Nobody's going to injure or take my son or daughter. Eventually, Moses was found in those bulrushes in the river. He was found by Pharaoh's daughter. And Pharaoh's daughter then looked to say, who could care for, who could nurture this young baby? And she called out, and the woman who was presented was Jochebed. Moses' own mother got to care for and raise him. She got to fulfill what I believe was a dream, a stirring of faith that God had put on her heart. Moms, because you know to delicately and firmly raise your children, you know how to protect them, children are going to respond in love toward you. Let me give you a second reason that kids love moms. It's because moms, you are loyal. Can you think of a woman in the Bible that was a mother and a character trait was described of her of being loyal? The woman who came to my mind was Ruth. Ruth, the daughter-in-law of Naomi. Ruth, whose husband had died, whose father-in-law had died. Ruth, who had come from the town of Moab, but found something in her in-laws and family in the short time she had with them to realize, no, there was something special about them. They have a God who is a God who could be trusted, a God who is worthy of worship. And Ruth decided, I want to remain loyal to not only this woman, this mother-in-law, but to the God of my mother-in-law as well. There's a very familiar verse found in chapter 1, verse 16 of the book of Ruth, where Ruth is quoted as saying to her mother-in-law, where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Ruth stayed loyal and committed, because I believe that was something that God stirred in her heart, to be a woman who was loyal. She stayed loyal to her mother-in-law, even when death happened in the family. She stayed loyal to her next husband, Boaz, committed to him. She stayed loyal to her future that God was calling her into. Read the book of Ruth again. Be reminded that because of her loyalty, people were drawn to her and to the God that she put her faith and trust in. Moms of today, when you stay committed to God and to his plan for your family, you are instantly more lovable, even without words. Your kids will be drawn to you. Let me give a third reason that kids love their moms. It's because, moms, you pray. You pray. And I'm going to go to Samuel's mom as the example for a woman, a mother who prayed. She prayed before she was a mother. Her name is Hannah. And you can go to 1 Samuel chapter 1 to find out more about Hannah. But this is an interesting example of a mom who prayed, because she wasn't, as I said, wasn't a mother yet, but she came regularly to the temple. She came and sacrificed and brought the offerings, and she prayed hoping that she could become a mother. So some of you women who are out there know what it's like if you haven't been able to have a child. Hannah, you can relate to Hannah. Hannah walked through the same desperation type of prayer in her life. And she prayed with such fervency, such depth, that a priest misinterpreted her. And he said to her, woman, you need to put away your wine and stop babbling. And she said, no. You don't understand the dream that God has put on my heart. He's put a dream on my heart to become a mother. And I am praying to him, asking him to deliver a child to me that I might love and raise up and teach to serve my God again. Moms, I want to encourage you, don't stop praying. Don't stop praying just because you're fearful that somebody else might misinterpret your prayer. They might think your prayer of motherhood is selfish or self-centered. Your kids will be drawn to you because you are a woman who prays. Let me go to a fourth reason that kids love moms. It's because, moms, you love Jesus. When you love Jesus, there's a love that just oozes, flows out, radiates from you that your kids and others will be drawn to, because that love is out of this world. Who's the woman I think of who loved Jesus? I think of the woman described from Luke chapter 7. She was a woman who was forgiven, but who loved. And actually, Luke doesn't even give a name for her in chapter 7. You'll find her in verse 36 and onward. But you'll remember this quote about this woman. Jesus said to the crowd around her as he addressed the actions and response of this woman toward Jesus. He said, therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. For whoever has been forgiven little, loves little. And we understand what Jesus was saying there is then whoever has been received loved much, has been loved much, will also love in return to a great degree. The woman that Jesus is talking about came into the house where they were. She broke an alabaster jar of perfume open, poured it on his feet as a symbol of anointing him. She began to cry, and her compassion and love so moved her for Jesus in that moment because she could just tell looking into his eyes that she was forgiven and she was loved. Even before he spoke to her, she acted in this way. This woman loved much because she had received much love, I believe, in a supernatural way from Jesus in that moment. It wasn't until after this activity that he pointed out, look at her display of love toward me. Luke goes on in the next chapter and he begins to name some women. He names Mary Magdalene, who was delivered of many evil spirits. He names Joanna as another woman who loved Jesus and followed him. She worked in the house of Herod. He names Susanna, and he describes that there were many other women who followed and supported Jesus' ministry. And I'm here today believing that many children were drawn to Jesus because they saw the mothers and the women in their lives forgiven and loving Jesus completely. Your kids will be drawn to you as you respond with deep love for Jesus Christ. Let me keep going because I got a few more reasons why kids love you as a mom. They love you as a mom because you've been healed by God. You've been healed by God. The woman who came to my mind with this character trait was Peter's mother-in-law. Check it out in Luke chapter 4. Peter's mother-in-law was healed by Jesus. Jesus, Peter, the disciples came back to Peter's house after a day of active ministry. And they found Peter's mother-in-law lying there with a fever. She was weak. She was sick. And Jesus went to her and he spoke to her and brought healing to her body. And immediately she got up and responded to Jesus. She had been healed physically of a sickness. But we know that moms don't only go through colds and sickness and ailments that affect them externally or physically. Moms also go through wounds of a broken heart, a hurting soul, a crying out from the depth within. I believe God can still heal on the inside and the outside today. He is still a God of miracle working, moving power to deliver sickness away from somebody. And I believe the kids in your life, whether they be young children or adults, they can tell whether you're walking wounded or you are walking as a woman who is healed. I would encourage you moms, women, men as well, pursue healing from God, whether it's something on the outside, don't stop praying for it, or it's a heart wound on the inside. Call out to your Heavenly Father because Jesus said, I've come to heal up the brokenhearted. And a healed person is attractive. People, children of all ages will be drawn to one who is healed. Moms, you're also lovable because you are multi-talented, or should I say multitask abilities. You can do both. You can do many things. And the woman I think of connected with this multi-talented ability is Priscilla. Do you know Priscilla? Check out Acts chapters 18, 19. Keep reading all the way through to chapter 26. Priscilla had a husband named Aquila. Interesting, the jokes and rhymes that must have gone with that couple. But they were a couple who joined the Apostle Paul, the disciple Paul, on many of his missionary adventures. And what's interesting is Priscilla and Aquila are identified as also being tent makers like Paul. So if you brought that into our modern day equivalent, she was a house builder. She was a construction worker. I was reminded by this just yesterday. I walked across the street to my neighbor's place because they had a lot of construction going on in the backyard. And cement trucks were coming in and I went over to see what was going on. And I was doing the safe distance thing, but just called out and said, hey, what are you guys doing? And the work crew turned toward me, and one of them was a woman wearing the tool belt right there in the cement, digging and working. And I just thought of the same thing. I thought, I wonder if she's a mom who's going home to kids at the end of her day. And it reminded me of someone like Priscilla, who was multi-talented, because Priscilla not only built houses, made tents, but she also was active in teaching about the good news about Jesus. She was a teacher. One scholar I read wrote about Priscilla, and he said, Priscilla's name comes often as quoted first, Priscilla and Aquila. And she may have been given that leading prominence because she came from a wealthy family or an educated family. She was an academic, but she was a teacher, and she was credited for teaching Apollos. So she was a woman who accomplished much. She was a woman who represents other women who are alive today who are leaders, communicators, leading companies and organizations, churches and countries. I believe Priscilla reflects that, and I know there are many women listening in. But those of you who are listening in, women, I know that often in today's world, you still get placed as second. Many times you are overlooked, but I want you to know God does not overlook you. God gifts you and fills you. He created you equal in this world, and He sees value in you, and when you believe it, others will be drawn to you as well. I've got a couple more for us, reasons that kids love moms. It's because you give your life. That's why you are lovable, because you give your life for so many. You sacrifice so much of your own plans to love on those that God has put in your care. Who do you think of from the Bible when I say of a woman, a mother who gave her life, who was a sacrifice? I think of Mary, Jesus' own earthly mother, Luke chapter 2. Mary, who was young, she and Joseph planning to get married, had lots of their own plans. But an angel came and had a conversation with her. And he said, this is what will take place in your life. And another very familiar quote is Mary's words from Luke 2:38. She said in response to the angel who said, you will give birth to Jesus, God's son. She said, I am the Lord's servant. May your word be to me be fulfilled. She was ready to give her life, to sacrifice, to love this baby who would be born, who would be more known as the Son of God than the son of Mary and Joseph. But Mary, in doing this, caused many people to look toward her as she loved on her own son, Jesus. To the women in our world, your faith in God, your life and sacrifice stirs us to believe and look heavenward, because as you give your life, we're drawn to want to ask why, and we want to give our lives to what you see as important. I wish I could tell you about more moms, but my time is wrapping up here. I could tell you about Easter. I could tell you about Esther, who was a mother who did what needed to be done. I could tell you about a woman named Abigail, found in 1 Samuel 25, who she was declared as wise. She carried the wisdom of God and the respect and honor of God. I could tell you about Timothy's mom. Do you know Eunice, Timothy's mom? She discipled Timothy, who became a disciple of Paul. Timothy's faith came from his mother. Check it out in 2 Timothy chapter 1. These are all women and reasons why kids respond and love their moms. Moms, you don't have to go and try and be all of these things. You don't have to try and be like the Esthers and like the Jochebeds and like the Marys. And if I was just, you don't have to. Moms, just be you. Be who God created you to be. Love on God, and He will stir something up on you, inside of you, that will be lovable for your kids and the people in your life. Now, if you're thinking, I'm not a mom, I'm not even a woman. How does this message relate to me? Let me just share with you for a moment about the two girls in my family who are getting married this year. One of them, you know, got married just a week ago, my oldest daughter, and my other daughter's getting married later in the summer. As I started to think about the men in their lives who they started to say, I wonder if this is the one, Dad. I wonder if this is the one who I am to marry. I started to think about, well, how do I narrow that down? How do I affirm this decision? How do I know if this guy is the guy who's truly going to love them and care for them? When we first met now Abigail's husband, he was with us back in the fall of 2019, and we got to spend 9 days with him. He lives in New Zealand, so he came to visit us. And while he was here, what became very evident to me was this young man, Sam, brought out the best in Abigail. What we saw, the way he treated her and cared for her and loved her, we began to see the Abigail that God created her to be. And so when he was loving her in a godlike way, she didn't need to be anything else. She didn't need to try and prove herself. It wasn't a competition with this young man. She could just let off all the restraints and be who God created her to be. And I do believe my next daughter is doing the same, and I'm watching her fiance to see how he loves and cares for her to bring out the most of who God's created her to be. To men specifically then this morning, our role is to help the women in our lives be who God created them to be, to love them in return so they are free. To the women today, love God sincerely, sacrificially, wholeheartedly. Love God because love responds to love. And when you love, then you will receive a response of love as well. Moms, be who God's created you to be. And for all of us, let's help the women that God has placed in our world, in our lives, discover who God has called them to be. Because the world is screaming lots of other messages, but let's set them free so they can discover God's heart in their heart. Rebecca, I'm going to call you up for a moment just before we get to a time of prayer and praying for women and praying for the women who are on this call. And first I want to say to you, thank you for being the mom of my kids, our four kids together. You are someone who I see as these women. You are loyal. You're a woman who prays. I see that in the early morning. The kids don't see it anymore, but I see her praying. And if the door to our bedroom was open, they would see your lips moving, but no sounds coming out. I see you as a woman who loves Jesus. And because you love Jesus, your kids are going to be drawn to you and your grandkids are going to be drawn to you. My role is to continue to help you be the woman that God created you to be. You don't have to put on any masks. You don't have to pretend. You can just be Rebecca after God's heart. And so I've asked Rebecca to pray out over you, pray over the women in this house again. But first, let's take just a few moments and think about a woman in your life, somebody who's nurtured or cared for you, somebody who's been praying for you, a woman who loves you. Let's pause for a few moments. And I want you to pray for them first, and then Rebecca will follow it by praying for you. Let's pray.
Well, that was so fun to hear why we are loved as moms, wasn't it? But more than that, it was so good to be reminded of how deep our impact as women can go. And I want to remind you this morning, if you would like to talk further with someone. If you have questions or you need prayer, you can jump into our Connect room that's happening right now after service. As well, you can receive prayer support by texting the word prayer to the number on your screen that you see there. Don't do life alone. So make sure you reach out for prayer this morning. Father, we are so grateful for our morning together. We are grateful that we have time just to rest, as that song said, as it was sung over us. We were able to just rest as your children and receive from you. And we celebrate your great love for us, God. And Holy Spirit, would you remind us this week how to be women and men who are loyal, who are nurturing, who are full of prayer. Holy Spirit, would you fill us with all hope as we trust in you going forward? We give you all praise today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, thank you, church, for joining us for Church Online. Have a blessed week.
Thank you for joining us on the podcast today. We want to encourage you to let the Holy Spirit sink today's message into your heart, to let it transform you and bring new life. If you want to learn more about Koinonia, you can go to kcf.life to get connected. Thank you for being a part of our community. If today's message encouraged you, we would love for you to rate it and review it and share it with a friend. We love you. Let's continue to build God's kingdom together.